Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, because Wrestle Reaction is back on the air. I am your host, Frank Manzo, along with my co-host, Joe Omega, as always. And first and foremost, happy one-year anniversary to us. We've done a whole year of this. Tomorrow will be exactly a year since our very first episode. And Wrestle Reaction is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, we've got a green screen now, for God's sake.
I can't believe it's been a year. We've gone with the podcast with our great little sound clips. We'll get into that a little later. The Ric Flair pseudo phone call.
Bret Hart phone call.
You know, we've come a long way with Wrestle Reaction, you know, and people out there that we thank that they know who they are. So thank you for helping us along the way.
That's right, and it's really all about the fans, and that's why for the first time in a while we are opening up the phone lines immediately tonight. We want to hear from you guys what you have to think about Wrestle Reaction, about WWE right now. TNA, anything wrestling you want to call in about, call us up. We're on the air for the next 60 minutes, 323-300-5350. You can see it right now on the bottom of your screen. Also, follow us on Twitter. If you're not, you're just totally missing out on one of the greatest Twitter experiences of your life. At
Twitter
_react. Yeah, pretty much, right here.
At FManzo3, at TheJoeOmega. And we have a special guest that wanted to stop by tonight. And it's Mr. Sacco! Frank, say hello to Mr. Sacco!
Mr. Sacco.
He came by for the one-year anniversary. How do you feel, Mr. Sacco? This is the greatest show I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, man. It's going to be one of those episodes, folks. We love to have fun. We hope you're having fun watching us every week. And yes, it has been a year. I can't believe it. But we're going to have many, many more to come because you know we're going straight to the top.
And so, smart, Mark, this actually is the sock that comes with the Mick Foley DVD.
Because so this I am a WWE home video whore, and I buy everything. By the way, let's get right into it because we are obviously going to be talking about Raw. So let's get right into what, you know, Joe's pulling out the sock. Let's talk about Mick Foley. Joe, you haven't gotten a chance to see it yet?
No, I have not. I have not watched the Mick Foley DVD.
Mick Foley DVD, For All Mankind. I love documentaries more than anything else in DVDs. I love the collections, obviously, with the matches also. I mean, it's good to see a lot of great matches, but I love that story. And Mick Foley, from, you know, the backyard wrestling to WCW, Japan, back to WCW, ECW, WWF, mid-90s to now. I mean, so much story, so many great people he interacted with and wrestled with, so many great people that took part in making the documentary and had all great backstage talking and opinions on Mick and matches and everything else. It was a great documentary from beginning to end. It runs a little over 2 hours, and it's got a great collection of matches on it also, and I just cannot say enough about the DVD. And it's coming from somebody who, it's not even like Foley is my number one guy or even close to it.
Or in your top 10.
Right. It's just an excellent wrestling story, and just like the original Foley book, Have a Nice Day, you know, it tells great classic tales of his up and coming in the business and how he did it. And obviously interacting with a whole crap load of really classic characters the whole way through. So just, it's excellent. I love it from beginning to end. I'm going to jump more into matches and, you know, bravo. And WWE coming out with a lot of good home videos this year, Joe. We've got a War Games collection coming up.
Looking forward to In Your House.
In Your House collection, a lot of good matches on there. The history of the WWE Championship. There's also going to
Which can only be better than the last one.
Yeah. There's going to be, oh, of course, for me, in October, the Triple H documentary DVD, which is I've been waiting for so long since they made the last one, which hasn't been done since about my time VHS tape when he was with China back in the day. There hasn't been a documentary on Triple H done, so I'm really looking forward to that. But WWE Home Video, stepping it up, and definitely a good sign going forward with a network coming soon.
And maybe, even better for the DVDs is the No More Blurring the WWF logo.
Beautiful.
Which makes the DVDs so much
more enjoyable to watch.
And easier to watch. Because I felt like whenever we were watching them, I just my focus would be on the blurs and the dubbed crap.
It's like watching movies with subtitles. You just can't take your eyes off the moving words. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the same thing with the blurs, and I'm really happy about that. But yes, if you have not gotten a copy or gotten to see the Foley DVD yet, I highly recommend you do.
And I will pick it up.
Even if you're not a big Mick Foley fan, or let's say you've only been watching the past few years and you don't even know about him, it's one of those great stories that will really educate you in pro wrestling, in the rich history of pro wrestling, how things were done before this generation. Hands down, great job. And I'm really looking forward to a lot more projects to keep putting out. But
very excited for the DVD.
I really am. And let's get into what's current and what everybody wants to talk about, and obviously what we're here to talk about every Tuesday, and that is WWE Raw from last night. And we had it, it was on a pre-tape earlier in the day, obviously because of the time change, live from England. And, you know, as usual, Joe, England crowd, lots of fun.
They step it up.
Always
way better than last week's crowd.
Yes, big step up. Last week's crowd, I believe the problem was a lot of children in the crowd. This week, obviously, you got more young adults, teenagers, and, you know, the UK always, even in their football games that they go to and cheer for, they're a lot more into the crowd. It seems like they're more of a fun persona to be around than most of the U.S., you know,
crowds. Well, like the last crowd, they go there to have a good time and you act a little crazy.
Exactly.
And that's what you need with the wrestling crowd. The Yes chants were in full force. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
They fandangoed a little bit, not as much as the original fandangoing happened, but They did a really good job, and again, crowd makes the show. We got, pretty much like you said earlier, we got almost like a house show.
Yeah.
Not too much story progression, but a little bit with good matches. I thought the matches were decent.
Agreed.
A little weird, the booking, like you said, with the Tensai matches going one-on-one.
Two separate segments, full entrances. I mean, we
on the same show, which
yeah,
is, I mean, if they do it one week after another, it's different, same show. But for a pretty decent Raw, which wasn't overly great, had some good things, the crowd definitely showed up.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I say this always when they go overseas. I remember back in the fall when we had to go to your cousin Justin's house to watch what Hurricane Sandy affected all of us over here. Half of us didn't have power. That was another England Raw that was pre-taped. And I remember saying back then on that episode of Wrestle Reaction that it seems like always when they go over to Europe, they book a lot like house shows because they want to get across more quality matches and match segments than a segment happy Raw, because they want to give more people time in the ring to show for the crowd and the English crowd especially. I think they really play into that and cater to that really well. So that worked out, and if you ask me, they sold the whole show alone last night by just the 3-on-3 match with the Shield and Undertaker.
Yeah, Undertaker
and
sold the show.
Dolph Ziggler versus Chris Jericho one-on-one.
Exactly.
That's a huge match in itself.
And then throw in the hometown boy, William Regal, get
right.
The pop. They always like seeing him.
Yeah,
no
the additions
problem.
All around that were excellent.
Yes.
And it was enough to make a kind of so-so show end up being a little better than that. Obviously, if that same show happened here in the States, Joe, I think we would feel that it was very lackluster and very unproductive and didn't really get to see a lot of things happen last night. And obviously one of the reasons why we didn't get to see a lot of story progression last night was because we were missing a lot of the roster. They had a separate SmackDown show going on.
That
the
Shield was legitimately flown into.
Right.
By
Fandango also, actually.
Fandango also. Right.
Yep. They used him both times. They wanted to get that crowd reaction there too. So, and that was interesting. And of course, we had Ziggler versus Jericho, and that kept Ziggler busy for the night, but we didn't get to see any progression with Jack Swagger, Alberto Del Rio. That's the three-way that's going to be at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view coming up. And
it would have been interesting to see the kind of reaction they got overseas.
Yeah.
Since they don't get much
here. I don't like when there's scheduled world title matches, something that should be a top two, top three on an upcoming pay-per-view, and you literally have this whole of a week, a void where it's just people aren't there. It's just non-existent to the storyline. Doesn't matter. Doesn't progress anything. Felt a lot like The Rock missing weeks before Mania.
Yeah, it's almost
don't
like
have anything to do.
You know, it's almost like this is an off week.
Right.
And Raw almost didn't count per se for a lot of the storylines. And we'll get into that a little later. I mean, and the one storyline I think they kind of tried to progress, which we'll get into later, got a little confusing, I think, for you and for myself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for others.
A lot of people.
That's the Cena and Ryback later on, which we'll get into. So, you know, the overseas shows, could do good and bad. So,
Again,
not a bad overall show for wrestling, though.
Pick up the phone. Give us a call over here, 323-300-5350.
Tell him he's a mark.
Why not? Go ahead. Let him yell at me for liking WrestleMania 29, which I still stand by the way. I thought it was a great show.
I liked it, too.
Getting back to Raw, you know, let's run through it a little bit. Obviously, Paul Heyman comes out. Never a bad start to show.
Lies, as usual. Keep up the lying gimmick.
Crowd, obviously, playing to Heyman, and everybody appreciates how good this guy is as a promo worker. And Triple H comes out and, you know, makes crowd happy by delivering the pedigree and obviously accepting Brock Lesnar's challenge. I was a little disappointed that they didn't have Triple H one-up Lesnar by coming back to the challenge and responding with, you know what, Cage, let's make it a Hell in a Cell. And step it up a little higher. And that's something I want to see personally. I just think you can get a better match out of Triple H and Brock Lesnar in a Hell in a Cell as opposed to a cage. Like I said last week, I expect a lot of downtime laying on the mat for these guys during this match. They don't have any outside of the ring to work with, which is obviously a fundamental
aspect. I'm going to hope for the opposite, though, in the cage. I'm going to hope that since it's closed in, they're going to have a faster paced match. I think it's going to be shorter.
I see a lot of selling.
I think it's going to be shorter, so I'm hoping to be a little faster paced. I don't think they're going to go with the Hell in a Cell. I think they go to that a lot. Like, that is, like, the end-all be-all. Like, they go to it a lot.
I agree.
I figured they just try this instead.
Well, that just goes back to the essential problem of gimmick pay-per-views, because when was the Hell in a Cell completely not needed? October. And they found themselves in a problem with Ryback and Punk and the Cena injury and that whole incident. And if that wasn't there, then Joe, the last time we had a Hell in a Cell would have been WrestleMania 28, Triple H vs. Undertaker, which would be over a year ago, and they could have brought it back for this to have this in a Hell in a Cell, which, like, I'm going to stand by it. I think it benefits both guys. I think you saw last year with Taker versus Triple H, very similar style momentum that Triple H and Brock Lesnar work. They utilize the outside of the ring, guys getting thrown into the steel steps, being thrown into the gate outside. Just a lot of things you can do, a lot of time you can buy. And I'm not sure that these two guys are the ones I'd lock strictly confined in the rope.
Well, it's definitely, if they don't keep the fast pace, it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt the match. People already, we've been saying for a few weeks, they really don't want to see part three, but it's got to be part three if it's 1-1.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. Let's just get it over with, and hopefully they do it well.
By the way, you know, you just brought to my mind about how this all kind of came about with this part three. Supposedly, this wasn't supposed to happen. Supposedly, this was all now a result of the Rock's injury, and everything else. And a lot of conflicting reports coming out over the weekend. I know The Rock, obviously, what he said, and I'm going to get to that. But there were reports over the weekend that The Rock was not happy with being booked to lose again, possibly at Extreme Rules, to Punk and Cena in a triple threat match. And that
I don't know if I buy that.
I don't buy that either, but I just want to bring it up. That was supposedly WrestleMania weekend, and apparently a lot of people, you know, grain of salt here, okay, wrestling rumors, but a lot of people aren't sure where all that came from, if he was really happy about the Brock Lesnar plans, whether they really existed. But then The Rock comes out on the radio show the other day, I believe, and he says that it was planned for something to happen with him and Brock to possibly further a match coming out down the line. And, you know, it looks like he was in support of that. So that kind of knocked that whole report out. But it was interesting to see some drama possibly come out and that The Rock maybe wasn't as hurt as he says he was. Then again, you see today, I believe he went in for surgery, and that was successful.
Yeah.
So something definitely went on there, and they did move some shooting back for Hercules. So obviously something happened there. Joe, hot topic, a lot of people talking about, with The Rock getting injured now in his second consecutive WrestleMania match, now missing the MTV Movie Awards because of this injury, having to push back Hercules film shooting, obviously studios don't like this kind of thing, for a couple of weeks. Is this it for Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, the actor in a WWE ring? Is this the time when his agent or people signing him for big money in Hollywood say, okay, enough, we cannot,
I don't deal
with this right now because you are pushing off studios and schedules and you need to be
an actor. I don't think so. This injury could have happened on the movie set, because Rock does a lot of his own things. It could have happened on the movie set. So I don't think that they're going to have a say in whether The Rock's going to be wrestling. Maybe they'll ask him not to do it so close to movie shoots.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend WrestleMania and then shoot a movie a week and a half
later. But I don't think this is the last you see of The Rock in WWE. I think he'll heal up for this, maybe come back around, maybe Mania time again next year.
Right.
I don't think we'll see him at the SummerSlam.
The only thing positive that I did see, and I agree with you, Joe, I don't think we're going to see him for SummerSlam. I know that was a talk, and especially after this injury, I don't think so either. But the only thing that I did really like about that report that came out over the weekend, and it might be total crap and not true, but I'm going to bring it up anyway, is that The Rock apparently was really hot for the idea and felt that it was the biggest money that he could make with anybody on fighting The Undertaker next year at WrestleMania for the streak.
I don't see why not.
And wow, do I want to see that.
If Mania is the way Mania is, with the biggest matches they can get, what they feel is the biggest money makers, why not put that? I'm still, you know, baffled that there hasn't been more talk about Brock and Taker. So I think that's the biggest money maker of all of them, with the biggest, maybe Taker loses.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Not really right now, because Brock just loses all the time.
I'll put it out there right now. If Undertaker fights anybody besides The Rock, John Cena, or Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30, I'll pretty much quit Wrestle Reaction and shut the show down, because I don't think that's happening. There's not a shot. Those three guys are it. That's the banner right now. I mean, you've got what everybody's been talking about for a few years, the Cena versus Taker Mania 30 match.
Well, that's the Super Cena. That's going to be the most unpredictable, because John Cena doesn't lose. So that's money. I mean, they have a few money matches for Taker left.
And obviously,
I think they may do all three of them eventually.
Like you brought up, Joe, who the hell doesn't want to see Brock Lesnar challenge for the streak?
Exactly. They definitely could go and do all three. They could do, you know, The Rock this year, Brock next year, and maybe Cena could be Taker's last one. You never know. Taker didn't say he's retiring, though.
Right.
He's a WrestleMania guy.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the last of those matches would be Cena, because Taker's very old school, quite literally. But he's the type of guy that goes by the old backstage rules and the respect that used to be, especially like back in the days with Andre and all the stuff that the guys – it was a brotherhood, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Taker's not the guy, even as much as Vince told him, look, I don't want you to lose. Just walk out victorious and that's it. You're done. I don't think Taker would be down with that. I think Taker, as a professional wrestler, more than anything else, and the legacy that he has and the respect he has for the business, I think he wants to put somebody over on his way out. And I don't see anybody else that could happen with than John Cena.
In a small way, Taker did put over the Shield a lot by being a part of the losing team on Monday Night Raw. And Taker's first time on Raw in what, 2.5 years, they said?
Yes.
And the Shield's hot, so I think he has no problem, you know, putting them over right now on that small show. WrestleMania, I think Taker would do the job if the boss says so.
Yeah, no doubt.
Bottom line, I don't think the streak's gonna end.
I'm torn about it. For me, it's a matter of Undertaker the man. Okay, Mark Calaway, just that guy,
and the
way people talk about him is that he is like the most old school of old school. Like, he is the godfather of the backstage.
He is the godfather of the backstage. You
know what I mean? And that's just the way it is.
Remember, he's the judge, jury, and execution. Even Tom Pritchard
said those exact words to us on this show. So a guy like that, who's not known for having the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels type attitude with anybody, that they don't want a job for them or anything. Taker, you don't hear stories about him like that. I think he would want to do the respect on the way out by letting somebody beat the streak.
So do you think that this, let's just put it out there, backstage, they're talking, you know, Mark, we want you and Cena to go out Mania 30, Mania 31, whatever it is.
Right.
Is this going to be your last one? He says, yeah, it's my last one. Well, we want the streak to stay intact. Do you think he says, you know what, F that, streak's made to be broken.
I think
give it to Cena. But Pedro brings up that Cena doesn't need the rub.
He doesn't
need the rub.
But it's just in my mind right now, and you know, listen, wrestling can change from one minute to the next. We all know that somebody could be a superstar in 6 months who we're not even considering right now. But even as over as CM Punk got, he never got into the level of beating the streak at WrestleMania and being that guy. He never even came close.
Great match.
So, and not to say that John Cena is a better wrestler than CM Punk, because I would never say such a thing. No. But we're talking about levels of performers superstars. I mean, this guy's like doing what, 300 Make-A-Wish things a year. So there's just that level that Cena is above everybody else. He is the poster boy. And if I could see this going to anybody, it would be him. And like you said, Joe, what's the conversation backstage? Vince, I think, has given enough clues that he doesn't think this should ever end.
I agree with you. Pijo 629 in the chat room. Roman Reigns, book it now. That's who breaks the streak. All their stock will be with him. And we know that that is our big superstar look of the Shield.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't think we won't see maybe a one-on-one Taker match with him if Taker stays around for some smaller shows. Yeah, but I don't think Roman Reigns will get to that superstar status while Taker's still around to be in that WrestleMania match. Although we both love Roman Reigns. He says WrestleMania 31.
I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about a two-year span. Think about the last two.
Everyone's calling Street 10, by the way, in the chat.
Think about the last 2 years for somebody like Dolph Ziggler or Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, who are like proven track record stars. And they haven't even gotten up to that level. So Roman Reigns, out of a faction where he hasn't even really got any singles time, 2 years to go to WrestleMania to fight Taker, never happened. Taker is an attraction at the biggest show of the year that you can never, ever take that away from him. There may never, you know, I'm sitting down earlier, Joe, I'm preparing the show. I said, let me just browse Netflix and throw something on. So I throw on Shawn vs. Undertaker 2, the career match, Shawn's last match. And just for pure inspiration, I'm watching it and I'm saying to myself, wow, this is amazing. And this gets the crowd to pop every single year. And I know we've already gone away from what WrestleMania was to all of us many times. WrestleMania was Hulkamania. That's gone. WrestleMania was Bret and Shawn. That's gone. But holy crap, when we move away from the streak, I mean, can you even imagine WrestleManias without that? Without that match, without The Undertaker? Because ever since 21, when Randy Orton challenged for the streak, it's been an attraction every single
year. That was like really
the first streak match, no question. It's been an attraction every single year. Give us your opinion. Raw last night, the streak, who should fight Taker, who should break the streak, who you like better, me or Joe. Call up 323-300-5350. Get in the chat also, wrestlereaction.net/watch. Everybody's in there. Got any questions going on in there? Just throw some questions in the chat.
Throw some questions. But
whatever you want to do.
Speaking of the streak and WrestleMania, I mean, WrestleMania, I think WWE Championship. That's what I think of. I want to know what the title match is going to be.
No, I agree. But the title match. Do you agree in some situations they have booked Taker matches higher than that and with well regard? Like that same event.
That Taker Shawn mean, you know, that right. was.
It's Shawn's last match.
Shawn's last match.
And even though, and how great was that Mania? Me and you both enjoyed 26 because it had a very strong undercard.
Yes.
And it had a great WWE title match between Cena and Batista, maybe Cena's best Mania match. Yeah.
And like, so, who knew that was going to come out of that? I thought it was good.
Absolutely. So it was interesting to ponder to me, you know, one of those big transitions in life, getting to WrestleMania years from now where there's no Undertaker match. And you've seen big things come and go from the history of WrestleMania, and it'll be very, very strange to see that because I'm still missing the Money in the Bank match, honestly. I think that's a huge deal for WrestleMania, and it's gone. And it wiped a lot of big cards off the show.
The last few years, I mean, that Money in the Bank match is a timed match. Like there's a lot of guys in there.
Right.
They got to get their moves in.
Right.
It's a ladder match. In the last couple of years, the Money in the Bank has not been in WrestleMania. There's been a lot shorter undercard matches,
sure,
and a lot more attractions. And then of course you got maybe one, two this year with three big long main event type matches.
Right.
So you take that out, and you got the three big main event matches.
Right.
It's kind of all what you like. I'm personally like you. I miss the Money in the Bank. I think it brings adds something to WrestleMania of a real sense of you don't really know who's going to win that match ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see a lot of guys. You get to showcase a lot of guys. Shelton Benjamin was in that match. He got showcased every year. Didn't do anything, but you know he always had a great showing.
No reason why you still can't do it. Even with the three big attraction matches, you get your one big title match, two attraction matches just because of the stars that are in them. And then you have, and what was the weakest part of Mania this year? Probably that no one undercard match really stood out, and that's where a Money in the Bank match could really help out. And even in a year like 26 that I was just referencing, where a Swagger went over in that match, and yeah, he did win the belt after that, but it's still not a significant moment because it never really became anything huge. But you still got to see a great little match with a lot of guys that you want to see on the WrestleMania card. I mean, this could have gotten Sandow and Cody on the card this year instead of being a healthy scratch. You know what I mean?
We have a question from pal Starchucks, who's always in the chat. And he says, do you guys think CM Punk will return as a face? Also, whatever became of the reports that he would be feuding with Brock Lesnar, will this still happen?
I have been dead against CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar since this all started. I don't like the pairing. I think guys that Brock Lesnar needs to fight are guys that physically look like they can give him a run for his money. John Cena is a big dude. Undertaker is a big guy. The Rock is a big guy. Triple H is a big guy. CM Punk, I mean,
you know what?
Somebody told us a story a few weeks ago about CM Punk trying to get into Madison Square Garden and the security guards laughing.
Oh, yeah, I knew. I heard that.
That he wasn't even a pro wrestler. So a guy like that, face-to-face with Brock Lesnar, a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's sports entertainment. Anybody can win at any time.
I agree.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Scary versus Big Show.
I don't think it's going to happen, personally, Punk versus Lesnar. I don't know if there'd be that much interest in Punk versus Lesnar, to be honest with you. They're both Paul Heyman guys, whatever, but Punk coming back as a face, I think not. I think he comes back as a heel. I think he stays heel. The way he walked off, I'm not sure that he comes back as a face from that.
I think he stays heel.
I think he stays heel
back and he starts flirting the line a little more right away.
Well, not play the heel roles like
right. But he ain't coming out kissing babies.
Yeah, no, he's not kissing babies and anyway. Pijo says, of course, in chat room, he always throws in a lot of, good thoughts. What about Ryback versus Lesnar at WrestleMania?
Yeah, see, I think a lot of people right away, as soon as they saw Ryback up and coming, in the fall when they brought him in, and, also Lesnar having signed the contract last year, I think this was like the normal go-to match in our minds of big powerhouse.
But that could also end up like that Goldberg Brock match.
I was just gonna say,
we could have been a little bit better, but I think they were both so thrown off by the WrestleMania crowd that just totally took a giant shit on them. Excuse my language, but they did.
Oh yeah.
But just imagine that everyone didn't know they were leaving and didn't hate them the whole match. Maybe because Brock Lesnar could go with a lot of guys. He really can. And back then, he was a better wrestler than he is now.
It's one of those matches that's reverse of Hogan versus Rock.
Exactly.
Go and watch that on mute instead of with all the volume up with the fans, it actually isn't a bad match, to tell you the truth. But it's just all everybody remembers from that match is just the MSG crowd tearing the ass out of both of them.
You can tell, like, after a while, though, they just didn't care. That crowd was on them. It was like, let's go home. It was a go-home match.
Well, you're not going to get that problem with Ryback.
It wasn't that bad. But after a while, it's like, you know what? F this.
No, and I agree.
And, Brock's got that personality.
They felt a little burnout from it. Goldberg was no more innocent in that situation. Yeah. And, good booking by WWE to have Austin stun both of them at the end and let him look like the top
pretty much going out because that's all the people wanted to see anyways. Austin.
That was pretty much it. And that was a big, big dud. And that always – good call, Joe. That's always what my brain goes to when I hear Lesnar versus Ryback. I'm thinking not because Ryback is Goldberg.
No, he's not Goldberg.
Very much.
Not because of that. Just because of the similar size.
Size.
I don't think he reminds me of him in any way besides he's bald and has facial hair.
And he throws a lot of power moves.
Well, what do you want a guy? What do you want a guy that looks like that to do?
He reminds me more of a Batista. He's like a little more agile, can throw a couple. Well,
Goldberg
more
used to do a little crescent kick.
Goldberg was very agile. I mean, the guy looked like a gladiator. But I just for me, for some reason, especially like the way he moves around and some psychology that he uses, it's just more of a Batista thing. I feel like Goldberg was just either getting beat on for those three moves a match, or full steam ahead like a train going through somebody. And it was like no in between.
Yeah, you know what? That is actually I like that we brought that up. But I think of Goldberg matches, I can't think of that many matches where he had a really good back and forth chemistry in the match.
Versus DDP Halloween Havoc 98. That's
like a real story in there. But like you said, he took a crap kicking for a little while.
Right.
And then train over
steam through.
I do like the him versus Raven. It's on the Nitro.
One of his best matches ever. For
I mean,
sure.
But, that's Raven's a
and
good
he had a good.
High,
he had two good little matches the night he won the title. First with Scott Hall to get through him. Then with Hogan after that. Obviously the Georgia Dome. That was a huge night, and that was good stuff. And
he's had some good matches. I just as in like just storytelling ability with match pacing.
Right.
It's pacing.
And me and you are big on pacing.
Hoyt, who one of the DVD winners, wants to know: will Christian ever return back to WWE?
Christian will return back to WWE. I can give an exclusive on this. I was hanging out with a few WWE guys on Friday of Mania weekend, and we walked right past Ryder and Christian, who were hanging out and taking a tour of New York City together. And, you know, Christian was at the WWE hotel staying with the guys that weekend. Didn't do anything, obviously, but he was there. So I'm predicting he'll be back soon. I think right now they're seeing exactly where they want to go post-WrestleMania because everybody knows – this is the season where you start maneuvering your chips to start building up for the rest of the year, or at least towards SummerSlam. So I think Christian will be back sooner than later.
You think he's jumping right into that World Heavyweight title picture?
Oh,
I mean, for a guy question. That just had excellent matches all year before he went out. I mean, excellent matches.
I don't see big money in Ziggler versus him. That's my problem. Like, Christian's a great wrestler, but, like, does he draw?
No, but that, you know, there's a lot of guys that didn't quote unquote
like,
draw money.
But you could put him versus.
And I like Christian better as a face, by the way.
Right. And will Christian outdraw Del Rio or Del Rio outdraw him? Probably even on that aspect. So I don't want anybody to think.
But who do you get the better match with? Who do you think? Del Rio versus Ziggler or Christian versus Ziggler? I think the fans more interested in Christian versus.
I'm going to go Christian.
I'm going to go Christian. I'm sorry. I think Del Rio's
strictly
good.
Strictly for experience. I like Del Rio as a wrestler. I think he's really good. And I said the swagger
Christian's,
Del Rio.
But Christian's much
made
more
match
over
excellent.
Him.
No, Christian's really, really good.
I know. Smart Mark says Christian's incredible. Christian is an incredibly lively man. But now, in this point in his career, I feel like when you're there that long, let Ziggler be the heel, let Christian be the face. Right. If they went that route,
but to me, it's kind of a ridiculous conversation when you consider people on the active roster right now, because I think there's more money in Christian versus Dolph Ziggler versus Orton. I think there's more money in Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus. I think there's good babyface guys that are kind of in that mid card or upper mid card or low main event tier. And I think those two guys would have great matches with Ziggler, obviously, and I think they would draw more money, and that seems more of a main event to me. We've all heard the Vince McMahon thing about not seeing Christian as a star, and obviously he took him back, and he likes him mixing in the mid-card, and he gave him that whole four-month feud with Orton back a year or two ago for the world title, which they had excellent matches
yes,
every
they,
pay-per-view.
Or awesome,
but
awesome
higher
matches.
Than that, I don't see him going, and I see him sticking more, getting that Wade Barrett, Kofi Kingston type WWE role where it's all about the mid-card titles. Or maybe even having him do what some people have been doing lately and stepping back and going into a tag team even. You know what I mean? Maybe Christian. How much would you love to see Vitamin C team?
Oh, I knew you were going to say
right
it.
Now. Like,
Vitamin C.
Christian and Jericho. You know what I mean? Like, I'm begging for a team that I can care about, that they're actually a tag team in wrestling. Like, don't get me wrong, I like Team Hell No, but it's more about the hugging and the segments and all of that than it is about their championship title.
Well, that's what got people to really care about them was the segments.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what happens when you put time into guys. Now they're a tag team for a long time. People still like them. Daniel Bryan, you know, this guy is so awesome. I really hope that eventually he gets back on his own, and kind of soon. There's not really a place for him right now, but eventually we gotta have D. Bryan back on his own, because is there really a guy that's been over longer than him right now in WWE? Longer than him?
Than Bryan? I'd say Punk. I think people jumped on the Punk bandwagon before. All right,
but Punk kind of once Punk turned heel just now. I feel like people kind of like was sour on him a little bit.
You're gonna tell me the whole internet is not
IWC. I'm talking
Punk right
I'm
now.
I'm talking kids, older people, all alike. Daniel Bryan has been over that. Yes, Chan is one of the most over.
He
we'll
is,
get into that later. Also,
he's more of a broad.
He's
crowd
like an internet person. Wrestling darling.
Yeah, I agree, and he gets he's catering to the kids who like him. He's kidding.
And yes, he does need to cut a haircut like mine.
I mean, I've seen even adults coming to the show that know little about wrestling. They're there with their kid. Daniel Bryan's making them crack up. So it's like one of those things that kind of reminds me, oh, and I always bring this up because he's a great wrestler and he was a great entertainer and nobody expected to see the comic side of him and for it to work this well. And I think Kurt Angle, every time I see Daniel Bryan,
I love Kurt Angle.
Because he'd just go out there and would suplex you and beat the crap out of you and have the most intense physical matchups that you could really sink your teeth into as a wrestling match. And then you just have the most ridiculous, hilarious, out of nowhere, backstage segment.
And you get that. I don't care.
Kurt! It's great stuff. Great stuff.
Watch Kurt Angle sing.
The little cowboy hat. I mean, come on, man. It's classic. And it's like, that's exactly, it's exactly what you're getting from D. Bryan right now. You're getting great matches in the ring, and then you're getting great segments. Like last night, you know, telling Kane, it's not the Brothers of Destruction with Daniel Bryan. It's Team Hell No.
I love that.
With The Undertaker. And I'm cracking
and it's
up.
So funny
it's
that
so funny.
Really, you think about it, the two, like, Ring of Honor guys, the two internet wrestling darlings.
Right.
I mean, I said Daniel Bryan may have been the most over guy for the past year.
Yeah.
You say Punk, which they're right there together,
right.
Really. And those are the two guys that, I mean, great matches, you know, we're going to come. IWC loves them.
Yep.
The fans like to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, you know, in this day and age, maybe wrestling has to start changing again to where it was when Shawn and Bret were on top,
right.
When it wasn't just a bunch of big guys. But in a way, it seems like it's getting back to that, or that's the way they're starting to hire the wrestlers.
It is getting
back. Ryback, the Sheamuses, the Roman Reigns is a big guy. Swagger is big. I mean, right now it's at a really like a big crossroads, you know, no pun intended, to become Cody Rhodes, who's another guy who could maybe be in a little higher type of level if it wasn't for the big guy signings that WWE has done, especially like we said with the CM Punks and Daniel Bryans being two of the most over guys in the company. It's almost like it's a tug of war, and the company's not going anywhere right now. It's at a standstill. It's like you have the big guy John Cena's, then we have like the Dolph Ziggler's. And I mean, everyone has what they like, you know, their flavors. So there's a bunch of different people watching. But what's going to take over and really put WWE to the next level,
right,
to get back into like the 4.0s constantly, the 5.0s constantly?
Yeah.
That's what they have to find out.
Yeah, you're talking about transition. It's kind of like the beginning of WWF 92 to the end of WWF 92. You had all the, I mean, if you look at the Rumble that Flair won that year, you have a who's who of big men, superstars. You got Sid Vicious, you got Undertaker, you got Sergeant Slaughter, you got Hulk Hogan, you got Randy Savage, you've got the Warlord, you've got big guys. Warrior was just a part of there. You know what I mean? It's just, that was the British Bulldog. You guys just jacked out of their mind. And then by the end of the year, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels is your main event at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So we haven't had that transition. It's almost like the undercard, those mid-level, mid-type body guys are pulling at Vince's back of his jacket. Like, hey, notice us.
Well,
we can go
over guys
on the big billing. Mm-hmm. And Vince is kind of like, hold on a second, guys. I'm not quite done with the big boys here. We've got Rock. We've got Lesnar. We've got Triple H. We've got Taker. Pump the brakes. Let me get a few more years out of them. Then let's see what you guys bring to the table. And what I fear,
people are laughing that you brought up the Warlord, by the way.
Guy, I mean, come on. The guy
was
huge.
I said undercard big
guy. The guy was huge. Shawn Michaels literally told the story to Kevin Nash about how he was trying to inject a needle into the Warlord's ass, and it just could not take any more steroids. It was full, okay? It wouldn't go in. True story, okay? So, yeah, that's why I brought up the Warlord, because number one, he came in number 30 in that Rumble, was the last man in, and you don't forget a guy like that walking into that ring. Just a huge dude. I mean, the workout crew back in the day was Davey Boy Smith, the Warlord, and the Ultimate
Warrior.
I mean, how much weight were they lifting at the gym?
A lot of syringes in the fanny packs back then.
So you go from that to Bret, Shawn, high energy, opening up the pay-per-view in November, and you've got that transition of talent, and you had what WF would like to call the new generation, because Vince had to make sure that even if his guys were big, they were definitely squeaky clean. That's why Kevin Nash got the push that he did. So it's an interesting time for wrestling, because like I said, we're not done with the big superstars yet, but those guys...
They're not at all, obviously. There's a ton of them there.
And we're going to get more big wrestling.
At the same time, I think Cena, as much as people hate him, I think Cena could fit in with those other guys.
Cena fits in great with the top.
He's got a great build. And, you know, everyone
I love Cena fighting Lesnar. I love Cena fighting Triple H. I love Cena fighting Undertaker. But at the same time, then you throw him down and you have a TLC main event with him in Barclays in Brooklyn in December with Dolph Ziggler. And the match was excellent. And that's a mid-card, you know, coming up.
Like you
guy.
Said, he went with Punk so many times.
Yes. I mean, you know, once, Cena versus Bryan is going to be a great match when that happens.
Once in the chat, once, since, you know, Cesaro is going nowhere right now, it looks like even, you know, he's getting pushed further down to just being a really good match job guy. He wants Cassius Ohno up. He wants the tag team. Why not?
This
That's
was a
what
good
I
conversation
say.
Here last night, Joe. You missed it. Justin and Jimmy were talking
I'm
about
I'm sure
that.
They were. But why not? They need some tag team guys.
Well, this is more your
Their
department.
Tag team
I don't
guys.
Really
well,
I'm
not
familiar
with them.
With them too
I,
much. But
you know, I did see them Ring of Honor. So, you know, if they're not doing anything with him, maybe together we'll bring back some you know, that those Ring of Honor fans that like Daniel Bryan and that like CM Punk
right.
that do watch WWE, the IWC, that like the Kings of Wrestling. Also,
I've heard nothing but good things, for sure. I mean,
Starchucks, now that WrestleMania 29 is behind us, when do you guys expect to see some releases? More importantly, who do you suspect will get released?
Well, if you remember back in the predictions episode of WrestleReaction, we did the first week of 2013. We said big releases coming. I expect it to be probably from now until the end of June. Obviously, last year there was no releases. Linda McMahon was...
Oh, of course.
The
exactly.
job creation campaign.
We all know why.
Not letting people go and everything else. And I think for WWE, who's in the transition time that me and Joe were just speaking about, it was a good year to keep everybody and kind of see where everything fell. Now I think it's time to clean house a little bit. There's just some guys, whether I like them, you like them or not, whatever it is. I'm not Joe Omega, by the way. That title is wrong on the screen.
No.
But
I'm
there's just, there are some guys that – thank you very much – there's just some guys that don't fit in with that whole scenario.
No. I mean, sadly, there are guys that I really, really do like that just you don't see them on TV. And, I mean, sadly, they don't even get on the main event. They don't get on the superstars. And you really just – I'm sadly to say you don't really need them. I mean, there are guys that do the job now that are almost – that are like the Barry Horowitz. And I don't want to, like, you know, say JTG is one of those guys.
Right. Why Cesaro losing all the time?
Cesaro, you know, but, you know, Cesaro's still a little
at
new.
Least he's on TV.
JTG has been in the company for a long time.
Oh, yeah, the guy's
and I
guy.
Think it may be his time to get released. Primo and Epico, former tag team champions, good matches all the time, may get released. Kali, I still don't think they're going to release this guy.
I don't think so either. He draws in the Middle East.
They're not
going to
release Kali.
Thing with him.
I'm trying to think who else could really you know get released.
I think Ted DiBiase Jr. is
gone. Ted DiBiase's gone.
He has to go. I mean, what good came out of this?
And we saw this years ago. Down in NXT. They have a good amount of guys in NXT.
Oh,
some of these guys around that size, DiBiase's, the JT, they're going to go.
Yeah. I mean, what good came with DiBiase so far? I mean, we knew even back when they were...
the Legacy.
Legacy, excuse me. He was the number three in that group.
Oh, yeah.
Orton was clearly one. Cody was
and then, you know what? That was funny. They tried to make...
DiBiase
the two.
Yeah. You ain't kidding.
They did try to make him
like,
two. Or
I remember when DiBiase first came in, it was like a big deal for Cody to be with him. Kind of like it stepped Cody up to be with DiBiase. And they were playing it really strong on Ted DiBiase's end. And then it just out of nowhere, it's like,
but
what,
you know what
does he really do?
If you go back and look at it, Cody Rhodes came in, you know, nice kid, you know, good looking, you know, son of the American dream.
Teaming with Holly.
And then he teams with Holly, known to be a tough guy. Okay? And then... You know, DiBiase comes in saying he's got a partner, cutting below average promos, and then you bring Cody Rhodes and you have him make the turn. I think he had bigger impact right then and there and got people's attention more than Ted DiBiase did
with the
promos talking about a mystery partner.
Yeah.
So now you have Cody Rhodes turning on the badass that he was, you know, Mr. Stiff, that sounds really weird actually, Hardcore Holly. And I just think that Cody had maybe a better got the ball rolling a little more for himself with that. I mean, maybe that's not what they wanted, but I think it really helped Cody Rhodes out in the long run to make that turn like that. That was an impact, I thought.
No, I agree. And even DiBiase, they gave him money, the belt, Virgil, and it still didn't work. I mean, if you can't get over with your dad's great gimmick and his bodyguard, what the hell is going to get you over? So I kind of gave up on him a long while ago. A decent wrestler in the ring, don't get me wrong, and he's got a good look, but just for whatever reason, just didn't work out. So I expect guys like that to be getting the little sweep out. Again, we still got some time here on the show. Call in if you want, 323-300-5350. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about Raw. The last segment, Joe, kind of confusing, like you said earlier.
Yes, we're going to get into that. We'll get in there right now.
First of all, I don't think Ryback is a bad mic worker. I don't think he's a great mic worker. I'm not comparing him to Ric Flair. But for what his character is right now, for the surrounding people in WWE who also are on the microphone, I like the way he stands out. It's a breath of fresh air. He seems very intense. He seems like he cares about what's coming out of his mouth, and he really is into it. I like his passion right now. I feel him when he says he needs and wants to become the WWE champion at any cost, if it has to go through Cena, through the fans, whatever it is. And I think this is great. I think he's a fresh character. I think he's better in the ring than most people give him credit for. And I'm just tired of people hating on stuff just for the sake of hating. And this goes back to Cena too. Stop hating on Cena just for the sake of hating, because he is pretty good also. So I expect this to be a pretty good match.
I'm liking the Ryback on the mic. Even that long drawn out Cena thing where he explained.
Right.
I guess I bought it.
Oh, it was good.
I bought it. He has a different way about him than most guys, which of course you need to set yourself apart.
Right.
I said that he reminded me of the Ultimate Warrior a little bit, which he does. Obviously not as eccentric. I said also maybe he should be a little more eccentric and say things that people go, what the hell did he just say?
Yeah.
Because he's the Ryback. He's hitting himself in the head. Wake up. He's a little eccentric as is.
It's awesome. It's great. I mean,
so when he's on the mic, you don't want it to be too long, but you want to buy it. And as long as he keeps it under, the 10-minute mark for promos.
Him and Foley worked it okay.
Him and Foley worked it all right.
It was not bad.
It was tough for me to watch with Foley's haircut, personally. I like Mick, but I don't like the haircut. Then John Cena comes out after
interrupts that
after he almost goes to attack Foley.
Right, looks like he's gonna threaten him.
They start staring down. Then comes out
the Shield.
The three hottest guys on the roster.
Pretty much.
The Shield. And they
commence to attack Ryback. Which just
might we add, got himself over as a heel. The whole promo. I mean,
right.
He called Foley.
He got at the fans.
Yeah, he cursed the fans.
He called John Super Cena.
Super Cena. Called Foley like a bastard and stuff like that. So then they attack the bad guy when they're supposed to be bad guys. What are they? What is Ryback?
Yeah.
What did this do for the feud?
I would have rather seen a little more suspense and just keeping them away from each other at this time than to have him attack Ryback, because if you are the Shield, you're the entity, the faction of WWE right now, and you're jumping people, and it's pretty much mostly jumping baby faces, why wouldn't you just turn this guy heel? And literally just turn him heel, because he is now talking against the crowd last night, which officially makes you heel.
Yeah, you call him Mick Foley, just said a fat, lazy bastard.
Yeah, pretty much. So why are you going to have the three hottest heels come out and attack that heel who you're trying
Who's trying to get hot?
In a WWE Championship match against John Cena. So I don't get that. It was very confusing for a guy who thrives on loving the creative process and following storylines and other things like that. If I had to think about it and think what's going on,
I can't imagine
other people.
I mean, raise your hand if you thought it was just a head scratcher. That's what I think.
Pretty much.
You know, and I was like, I've had just about enough of this. Me and the wife have been burning it at both ends with their preschool registrations, and I'm ready to be pampered.
And then, while we are sitting and thinking about what the hell just happened there, Cena drops an attitude adjustment on him to finish that off. So after the heel, who's supposed to be so dominant and scary to McFoley and such an adversary to Cena, he gets dropped by three guys. Cena has to come in and save him. And then Cena drops him also. So I'm just...
So basically, Ryback went out there,
cut
a pretty good promo with Foley, got over as a heel, then got a shit kicking pretty much.
Right.
He got beat by the biggest babyface and the biggest heels right now in the company.
Right.
The hottest heels, anyway.
If
you're not counting Dolph Ziggler.
If you're going to get over as a heel in the last segment of the night, you damn sure better be looking strong at the end of the, when the copyright comes on. I mean, I don't know. That was just the wrong week for Cena to hit the AA. I mean, I would have rather had it where Ryback was laying in the ring, beat up by the Shield, unconscious, and Cena just retreated and didn't save him. I would rather that than Cena come in and just lay more on top of him, because
I would have rather had the Shield beat up all three men, not just the Ryback.
Oh, I like that.
Who's trying to get himself over as the heel?
Listen, we don't care about Cena. We don't care about Ryback. We don't care about Foley.
Exactly.
We just want everybody to get
exactly.
beat. And you know what? I'm down with that.
That's what I like.
Me and you. Yeah, that's what we do. We should be booking.
Yeah, the champs are here.
I want to do a little fun thing right now before we get to the end, Joe. Been a year doing this show, and a brief history for you guys who don't know. Started out April 24th last year just doing the audio podcast. Weren't even live, just uploading our episode, doing some editing, having some fun with it. And in August, we got picked up by our great producer and obviously Live Link now on WrestleZone.com, and we got to go live with the radio show. And then obviously back in February before Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, we are now doing live video like we are right now. And if I must say so, I think it looks beautiful. Thank you to Will Benson.
Wow, Will. Excellent.
Doing an awesome job.
And at the real course, WB.
Chris Cash for running all this great stuff. But it has been a year that we're on. And even though it wasn't the most crazy, chaotic, or surprising year in WWE history, I still thought it would be fun.
A very, very predictable year.
For us to sit here and, we love doing a top five every week. So let's do the top five.
In honor of Booker T, of course.
The top five WWE matches or moments of the past year that we have been doing Wrestle Reaction. Brock Lesnar's return doesn't get on the list because we were not on the air yet.
Nope.
Sorry. So we're starting pretty much with Extreme Rules, and that brings me to the first thing I have on the list is Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, main event of Extreme Rules.
Mark out match.
I still consider it the match of 2012. It was totally unique to anything we saw. A lot of people never thought we'd see Brock Lesnar back in WWE again, and Cena pouring blood in 2 minutes. This was a pretty unique bout, Joe. I thought it really stands out when you go back and think of the last 52
Never
weeks.
Did not think I would see a match that looked so real. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't thumbtacks.
Not
tacks,
the PG
like,
era.
I was saying, there wasn't so many thumbtacks like a Foley match, but
right.
This was just, can you top this, hit me harder, because we're selling this right now.
Absolutely.
I like that. That's what it's got to be.
Another thing, huge thing. It just took over the wrestling world, and it was exactly the time that we started the show last year, the Daniel Bryan Yes Chant. I mean, I was in Miami for WrestleMania when it literally took over an 80,000-person arena, and he just – it's just awesome. It's still one of my favorite chants to this day, and me and Joe really want him to change the no's back to the yeses.
So. Yeah, I mean, I do like when he does play to the yeses a little bit too, every once in a while.
It's kind of like he does an intro with no, then he gets happy when he wins.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that. When he's wrestling and he's like, all right, I'm beating this guy up.
He's going to work maybe like in there somehow.
I heard him say that. Did you ever see an interview? He's going to maybe do a maybe.
And you know what?
He's going to call me maybe.
Probably could get away with it, exactly.
Someone's going to ask Daniel Bryan, do you like Kane as a partner? Maybe.
For me, one of the absolute most exciting things of the last 52 weeks, and I'm sure it was for you, Joe.
My first one.
It was your first.
Even though people didn't like it, but it's all right.
Going to WrestleMania 29 live at MetLife Stadium a few weeks ago, just awesome. Had a great time. Big event. The Super Bowl of pro wrestling. How could you have a bad time?
Almost. It's as big as the Super Bowl for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But it's not a culmination anymore.
Right.
But it's an amazing event. It's big.
It's a showcase.
It is a showcase. The grandeur of it all is just unbelievable.
It's just awesome. And the next night, giving us our next moment, Dolph Ziggler.
This was a marked out moment.
Finally cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase and becoming the World Heavyweight Champion.
Who marked out a little bit? Raise your hand.
Come on, man. That went crazy. It was awesome. I was like down on my knees in front of the TV going crazy.
I'm like, come on!
Exactly. And Joe, one that you threw in there before, and I know you were going nuts, and so was I.
Yeah, I do, because I love the man. Excellent every time he comes back. He leave and come back 100 times. Chris Jericho, surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. And who reported that one? Nobody. Which is why it just helped to be as great as it was here in that music hit.
To see him start off with Ziggler, number one and two. Total. I love how you get out of the first two people a surprise in the Rumble. It just always brings such a great start.
And, of course, he had such a good showing in the Rumble, too.
Yeah, come on. I think he did 44 minutes or something.
He was pulling Rick Martel-type numbers in the Rumble.
Good stuff. Very, very good stuff. So, and that's the top five moments for the 52 weeks that we've been on the air, at least for us.
I mean, that we think was just, like, the moments that we screamed at the TV the most for.
Stuff that stood out, and it just, like, real amazing wrestling moments that will always go down in my memory. I won't even have to think about what year.
I'm surprised you didn't put the debut of Zeb Coulter on there. I know you marked out for Dirty Dutch.
Listen, Dirty Dutch is awesome.
There was no mark out moment.
He just, as good as he's been on the mic, they really just tanked them after a while. Those first couple of weeks were awesome. And then it going into WrestleMania at one point, they literally had the strongest story and promotion going into that event.
I mean,
and then it just went right down.
Getting onto Swagger, eventually WWE is going to have to realize that no matter what they do, who they put Jack Swagger with, he's not going to be Kurt Angle. He can't be that American.
Oh, I agree.
You may have to change your American stuff eventually with this kid.
Yeah.
And because it's just nothing has really worked. They gave him Vicky Guerrero. Ziggler, you know, he flourished.
Right.
Swagger didn't move from where he was.
And when they broke, it was nothing.
And Ziggler squashed him.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, eventually, these are the kind of guys that maybe, you know, they have, you know, decent looks, but sometimes WWE has to give up on or just realize that this guy is a mid carder. And that's where it is. I mean, they're, and it's like I always say, it's not the worst to be a mid carder. There are plenty of good mid carders in the 90s and the 80s.
Closing off, something that a lot of people have been talking about also, getting back to the Ryback Cena situation. First off, this is what I think is going to happen to pay per view. I don't think Cena pins Ryback clean. I think Ryback has had enough losses on pay per view so far. And I think they've bumped him up into a different bracket now, putting him in business with John Cena to do an after WrestleMania match at the next pay-per-view. You have to draw strong. Obviously, that's when they did Lesnar versus Cena last year. I'm thinking that Cena is going to win this by DQ. I think Ryback at the end maybe uses a chair, steel steps, something just to get DQ'd so that he doesn't look bad taking the loss.
And it is an extreme. It's at Extreme Rules, so Ryback may get a little too extreme.
And they haven't given it any kind of hardcore stipulation.
No stips.
And that tells me something.
No stips yet. There's going to be a stip, I think.
You know what? I don't think there's
going to be. You don't think it's going to be a one-on-one match?
It's going to be one-on-one, regular match, WWE Championship for the specific reason I just said, because this guy needs to get DQ'd for the finish. That's
all right. Well, what happens if the Shield comes out?
That could happen too.
Does that happen as DQ?
But again, now they have attacked both guys, Cena and Ryback. So that's going to be the finish to the pay-per-view now too. I'm not in love with that either. I kind of want to see them stay out of this and just make this a Cena-Ryback affair. Doesn't need to end clean, like I said, but I'd like to see both of them walk out looking strong. Similar to what they did with Mark Henry and Ryback at WrestleMania. Mark Henry got the victory. Ryback did the move. They both went out looking better than they did before that. And the match even wasn't that great. You know what I mean? So it worked out like that. But another question. We just came off this monumental 14-month title run by CM Punk. John Cena, what are you thinking? Losing it soon? Carrying it for a while? What's the prediction here? I know a lot of people have even boldly said Ryback wins the title next month. I don't think there's any chance.
Ziggler's one champion. Cena's going to hold it. Maybe to SummerSlam.
I think exactly that, Joe. I think John Cena, the basic plan right now.
There's got to be a big SummerSlam match again. They can't. Right. They can't dog SummerSlam. It was their number two for a while. They have dogged it. Rumble's pretty much their number two now.
Oh yeah.
But SummerSlam's got to step back up and be part of the big four. And same thing with Survivor Series. Like, the Rock Survivor Series teaming up with Cena, you know, it didn't really go over that well.
Yeah.
These are the big four that they have to start treating like a big four.
I agree.
And John Cena as WWE champion may give it that kind of feel.
Yeah, no question.
Maybe against the Ryback again. Who knows?
Could be. I expect maybe more of an attraction match. It seems they've kind of go that route with SummerSlam. They brought Brock in to work Triple H last year. It didn't go over so great, but you have to admit on paper before the event actually happened, it was a pretty good plan. We're going to do a
big Punk come back SummerSlam by Slam?
I think Punk's definitely back by SummerSlam. Honestly, Punk is going to miss Extreme Rules. I think he misses maybe the next pay-per-view. I'm not even certain about that, but he's back by the time Money in the Bank pay-per-view goes down in July.
I know our boy Justin J. Hill wants to know what feuds are we're going to be expecting this year out of John Cena?
That's a very good question.
I think the Ryback's going to last a few papes.
I think the Ryback is going to last. I agree. I think that we may even get another Cena Punk somewhere down the line.
What about Cena Brock? Brock go for the title after he beats Triple H? Does Brock come and be the big, big dog?
No.
No.
I don't think he has enough dates to do it. I think this is one of those situations that Vince knows we don't need to put the belt anywhere near Brock Lesnar for this guy to draw and have great matches and to sell tickets. And I just don't think you have to do that. I think it was enough of a project for WWE that they just started breathing again now. With The Rock being champ for 2 months and not having him this day and not having him that day. And now you're back to, okay, our belts are on our guys that are with our buses and our crew every week. They're going to be there. They're going to perform. We can schedule them. There's no crazy schedules. They're not coming here, there, whatever else. This is back to the formula that works. And I don't see Lesnar going near the title. I don't. I'd love to see it. I think Cena versus Lesnar for the title would be a money match. I'd actually like to see Brock take the belt off him at that point because I wouldn't want to see Cena go over him twice in a row. But I don't think that happens. It's not the situation I see it leading to. I think they had enough with their part-time champions.
Some people see it here. Some people don't see it. Justin J. Hill again. RVD, Batista, question mark?
Batista had some more shooting to do. I think he's getting ready to come back soon.
I think he's getting the itch. And bold prediction. May take whatever Rock isn't going to do. I think Batista jumps into that role.
I think Batista is going to come back the night after SummerSlam.
How about Batista versus John Cena? Rekindle that.
That's good. How about Batista versus Brock Lesnar?
Who's the heel?
Brock
Batista,
Lesnar.
Batista was a
Brock Lesnar.
Heel,
yeah, but.
But Batista, the comeback.
Batista has the Jericho syndrome going right now. As soon as he comes back, the fans just...
Smart Mark does not like Batista, by the way. Okay. He says, why can't people forget he exists?
I like Dave Batista. I always, in fact, when him and Cena were coming up together, I actually favored Batista over Cena. And I love their...
I favored Orton over both of them.
I was with you. And we know me and you got the whole little Randy Orton RKO post from him at MSG.
And so RVD, do we see him in WWE?
RVD, interesting scenario. Supposedly signed 2 weeks ago. Now supposedly not.
That has not been talked about. Really.
Hasn't been talked about again. He looked great when I saw him WrestleMania weekend. I don't rule it out, and it seems like he's more than willing. And I think Vince always liked dealing with RVD and thought that he brought something good to the table. So I definitely think that is going.
And I definitely think RVD could use the change of scenery and get some different matches because there are some different guys in. In WWE now that he could work with.
I think anybody that WWE can get back at a reasonable contract, not to hurt themselves, who has some kind of nostalgia feel to them of days gone by and wrestling of past and their established names would be good for the current product. And not that we need more part-timers or more Lesnar situations or anything like that, but if you get Batista, RVD, God, please let Kurt Angle come back sooner or later.
Please, Kurt.
Because if this guy finishes his career in TNA, I'm just going to vomit. It's like the equivalent of Bret Hart having to finish and retire in WCW. It's just bad. It's worse than that.
I always say it. The worst move Kurt Angle made was going to TNA instead of just taking a year off or even longer.
I got one better for you. The worst move Kurt Angle made. The jump to TNA was great. Making money and living comfortably and not moving around much and working a different company and trying to bring them up another level because you're an established guy, great move, good business move, good for everybody, changed his scenery. I liked it, even if it didn't work.
Even if it was a Christian run like that.
The worst move he made, okay. Re-signing the contract.
I agree.
No question.
When he first came to TNA, I'm going to agree.
Because look at Christian did, like
it
you
was
said.
Cool, but
perfect.
You go there, you kind of slow things down a little bit, you get healthy, you heal some injuries because you have the shortest schedule, you go, you still wrestle, still keep yourself looking good, yep. Maybe even raise your stock, which Christian kind of did.
Right.
He showed that he could, you know, really get people to turn their heads and watch. And we
made a lot of buzz in that company. And
we were watching
one of my
Christian
favorite eras in TNA, no question about it. And look, and Kurt Angle's surprise entrance still has one of the most insane pops you'll ever see in pro wrestling. So biggest mistake he made was re-signing. I mean, he had a cool little run. It got him away from WWE cameras. When
he's
you're
still,
gone, the heart grows.
We saw him.
He would have came back.
We saw him, and he needed to – even in TNA, he needs time off the heel. Kurt
no
Angle,
question.
He goes, like, you know, 150 miles an hour every match he has. And that's just one guy that we always felt could have been one of the best of all time had he stayed in WWE and kept himself a superstar.
Back. It's true. It's damn true.
Yeah.
We want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Wrestle Reaction. 1 year strong, we've been here, and we are not going anywhere. We're going higher and higher up the ladder. More big things to come, more articles coming to the website, some new partnerships coming about that we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, listen, Make sure you follow us on Twitter. If you're not...
Yes, and Karen Angle is so hot.
Yeah. Well, if you're not following us on Twitter, for real, you're not getting some great Raw tweets. You're not getting some great episodes of this show, some great articles we're putting out. And not to mention a lot of great people that we talk to on Twitter and interact with, that you could also be following their shows and getting some great stuff from them. So I really love the little circle of people that we work with, and it's been a pleasure working with everybody. And Wrestle Reaction is going to go much further beyond where we are. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, 7 p.m. Eastern. Be
tonight. Have a nice day.